are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
What you need when what you really want inside can You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. we pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on the timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well for you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it wasn't, you got it done anyways, if you had to do it. And of course, you did it safely. You were masked up. You stayed your distance. You kept your hands clean. Got to. It's that time. I don't know when I won't be saying that. And it won't be anytime soon, unfortunately. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. If you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and then you'll see programs that are dated and titled. And thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku, we have updated it, so it's pretty much, you know, recent. And, of course, some from the past. A lot of programs this year. Haven't gone to many places this year, so we have a lot of programs this year. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That is the Eastern time, and all times I'm going to give are Eastern times. On Monday, today, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jahad Ahmed, followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. From 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey with Encobra. On Tuesdays, from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Thursdays, and of course I missed it, my apologies to my dear friend, Sister Benisiwa, so I missed it. On Thursdays from 7 to 9, Brother Oshi, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. On Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's, brothers and sisters, you know what time it is. That's right. It's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays, Black Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers from 4 to 6. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, from 7 to 9, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yes. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. And you know we're pushing and really seriously pushing, of course, the Buy Black this holiday season. So please go online, look at WeBuyBlack, the products they have, and any other vendors that I mentioned. please. And if, and of course, you're not in the Atlanta area, so wherever you are, seek them out. Go online if there are none in your area and purchase from us. Africa for the Africans, Bramani Taihemba. He was on the program and this past Friday and talked about what's happening with his organization and his additional plans to help bring more of our people to the motherland, to have them experience a journey of a lifetime, as well as developing that community in Ghana. He was part of that Marcus Garvey town, but he saw that was not good as well as I did, unfortunately. And so he's, in fact, the area, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I am familiar with the Winneba area in Ghana, in the southern part. It is west of Cape Coast. Excuse me. It is west of Accra. Winneba is between Accra and Cape Coast, where the dungeons are, Cape Coast and Elmina Dungeon. And so I'm anxious to see that when I get back to Ghana sometime in the near future. But I'm definitely planning on the trip to Tanzania. Of course, it's, I used to say Tanzania, but it's Tanzania. That's how it is pronounced in Kiswahili. So that's what we must do. In fact, anytime you get a chance to know the right words, if you can, if you know the right terminology, the right pronunciation of words that are African, you should try to do that. You know, I've had a couple of programs where I talked about, you know, words have meaning. And to use the right word, that's why I don't use black to describe us. I don't use white to describe them. I don't use slave. There's a number of words that you know, you can really train your mind. You can train your mind to do that. You really can. Okay. He's going to go to Ghana in next week, I believe it, the 24th, from the 24th to the 5th. Then he returns, he comes back, and then he's going to Senegal and Gambia in April, April 2nd through the 12th, and then to Ghana again, May 24th through the 4th, and then Tanzania on November 18th through the 29th of November, All trips are $3,700 per person. And go to Africa for the Africans if you want to give Brother Bamani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. The recent Tanzania trip is on there, so please check that out. Renoko, my good brother Renoko, his trip is going to be, his trip was changed. It's going to be October, the trip to Uganda and Rwanda. Go to drrenoko.com on his website, or you can give him a call at 323-803-8663. That's 323-803-8663, Dr. Renoko. And he has another trip in August 1st to the 14th, going to Kemet, going to Egypt. So, and his trip is about $4,200. But check it out. I mean, he's going to Uganda and Rwanda. Man, that's, I mean, the pictures are just beautiful. And of course, well, Rwanda is one of the cleanest countries on the continent. And they have a lot of women in leadership, if that's something, you know. Ah, yeah. Habesha Incorporated. Brothers and sisters, go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. They are doing the work. They are doing the work here locally and, of course, on the continent. So check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. Another one that is doing the work on the continent is the LEDGE Group, Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics, the LEDGE Group. And, of course, they deal with food, water, clothing, and shelter. They deal with the basics. They have about 12 projects. They're in 6 countries. They have over 170 employees globally and over
260 members, brothers and sisters. Be a part of the Ledge Group, theledge.com, theledge.com. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, down the street from the Shrine. Of course, the Shrine, they are open on Fridays and Saturdays. Fridays from 1 to 7. Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7. And of course, the Shrine is located right on Ralph David Abernathy, down the street from Wadada's. And they have all kind of gifts for you. And, of course, they have all the Kwanzaa supplies that you need, the Kanaras, the mats, you name it. They have the candles. Sometimes, a lot of times you just need some candles. They got them. So check out the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Of course, they got furniture, books, because it's a bookstore. In fact, we had our Kwanzaa. I'll mention that in a minute, our pre-Kwanzaa celebration. The other bookstore we recommend, in fact, all three bookstores were mentioned, the Shrine, Mama Nia, and Brother Gazimde at the Black Dot were mentioned yesterday at the pre-Kwanzaa, as I mentioned that on Wednesday and Friday of last week's program. The Medu Bookstore, located in Greenbrier Mall. Give Mama Nia a call. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, assortment of t-shirts, figurines, you name it. She'll have it for you. Great for gifts. Great for gifts. Thank you. I don't know why this thing is doing this. I thought I had this off. Oh, well. Give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, Brother Gazimde Ajamu. There is light in the Black Dot. Give Brother Gazimde Ajamu a call at 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. They're all open, so they're open for your you can buy and browse and all that kind of good stuff. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, and of course the Shrine of the Black Madonna, located on Ralph David Abernathy here in the West End of Atlanta. Cafe Ulu's No More. Us Lifting Us, Ulu, Us Lifting Us, the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. That's Us Lifting Us. If you want to call in just to listen, you can. Or if you have a question, comment, or concern, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Sanjay-Aidi, Sister Gabby is doing an outstanding job of providing the necessities for the development and growth of our young kids in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. And that's how it is pronounced. It ain't pronounced Haiti. It's pronounced Haiti. And her organization, please give a look at Sanjay, Sonjay-Aiti, AYITI.org. Sanjay-Aiti. She always sends me a lot of pictures, beautiful pictures of children and all the things that they're doing. So, you know, so since I contribute to her, she want to make sure, you know, this is what's happening, you know. But that's beautiful. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, make your money order or check out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. And I understand that people don't do that too much anymore, although I do, you know. But you can use Cash App and PayPal. And the Cash App, the $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I. Then you can make an ongoing payment to Akabin Institute. Baba Baruti will be my guest on Wednesday. I am excited. I hope that you are too. Baba Baruti, Brother Mwalimu Baruti will be my guest, and we will have a great conversation. In fact, I won't be doing any announcements. I'll put the intro on and go right into the discussion with Baba Baruti. So we have as much time as we can, maybe extend a little bit over depending upon what's happening with him, you know. So, yeah. Baba Bamali Mubarudi. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. That's right. There's a new Inye Sesim. Baba Barudi put together Inye Sesim 2. I'm going to pick that up in time enough because I think I do have a program. Let me see. I believe I have a program, J1, January 1st. And yes, I do. It's on a Friday. I have a program on January 1st. I will be here. And so, hey, we're going to do it. Do it till we're satisfied. All right. December 13th. We can no longer allow them to undereducate, miseducate, and control the minds of our beautiful youth, turning them into Negro puppets of poison who feast on a filthy diet of their own self-hatred. Robin Taylor Nixon. We must learn to distinguish friend from foe. While we know that an aggression against other conscious Africans is wrong, defending oneself, one's family, one community, one's nation against confused Africans is not. There is no difference here between non-conscious Africans and Europeans or any others who act against African interests. That's a great point, because understanding this, brothers and sisters, many Africans are in the military of our aggressors. Many Africans are in the military of Europe, in England and in France and others. Many Africans are in the military of the United Snakes. But it's surprising to me that many of the people that I talk about and I've had on this program, Brother DJ, Brother Black Panther, Ben Njai, Mawali Mubarudi, they have been in the military. I have never been in the military. I've been in the fire department. They say that's quasi-military because they have these ranks. But I've never been in the military. And almost tried to enlist one time, but had a second thought. No, actually, I failed the test. I failed the test to go into the Navy. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know. But it wasn't meant for me, thank goodness. There is no difference between non-conscious Africans and Europeans or others who act against African interests. A history makes our relationship with Europeans abundantly clear. History. Malcolm said, of all our studies, history. He didn't say, of all our studies, religion. No, it is history. Rewards our research. Look at the history. Although knowing more of the details of the magnitude of their genocidal efforts towards us can be useful, there really is nothing more that we need to know. Toward them, their black watchdogs and other non-Africans who have proven that they consider assaulting and exploiting us as an inalienable part of their constituted human rights, we cannot possibly be aggressors. Such people have already committed innumerable aggressions against innocent, heartwarming, loving Africans without cause or justification. Consequently, our duty is to simply to stop this onslaught and prevent its reoccurrence. Affirm, I distinguish between foe and friend. Affirm, I distinguish between foe and friend. December 14th. Although we live in a society with other ethnicities, including Europeans, there is no reason why we Africans should allow them to join us in everything we do. Can't we Africans have at least one thing for us without them being there? The idea that we are here to introduce Yoruba to a spiritual side and humanize them is about as revolutionary as committing suicide to make our enemies feel bad about how they treated us. And there are some of us that do that. They want to go out and show that this redemptive of suffering is redemptive, and then that somehow people will look at our suffering and feel that shame of what they have done. Stop it. The most pointed strategy in this self-appointed misery is reflected in the white face syndrome, a progressively regressive condition causing Africans to believe that Yorugu must be a part of or be at every activity Africans have. Such sentiment is based on a probability that some of us will rub off on some of them. There is no more than the other side of the sub-integrationist effort to infiltrate them as mercenaries of human compassion in hopes of using moral suasion, to make them feel guilty enough to love us. Accordingly, our life's work comes down to little more than saving them from themselves. As always, in this insanity, even consciousness still enslaves some of us. Europeans remain at the center of all our thought and behavior. I know Baba Kelsey, I'm going to have him on the program again. Of course, Baba Mariba Kelsey is a more than an esteemed elder. He is a great man. And he says that many times about, don't even talk about the Caucasian. Focus on what we got to do. But it's hard because they're in every part of our damn lives. As always, in this insanity, even consciousness will enslave most of us. Europeans remain at the center of our thought and behavior. Our ancestors were not beaten, raped, murdered, fractured, and did not suffer the indignation of deculturalization and dehumanization for us to save their destroyers. Let me repeat that. Our ancestors were not beaten, raped, murdered, fractured. They did not suffer the indignation of deculturalization and dehumanization for us to save their destroyers. That would only be a cross voluntarily borne by vanquished mental-cital slaves, regardless of their knowledge base, their foolishness. Affirm, destroyers are unwelcome in my personal and communal spaces. Affirm, destroyers are not welcome in my personal or communal space. Inye Sasim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Kwame Nkrumah, you know I love Kwame Nkrumah. And he said, let me find that right quick. This is usually I have these things down, but sometimes you know, you gotta excuse Baba Oshi because I be tripping too, okay? You know, I be tripping, and sometimes I'm just think that I'm right there, and then of course, unfortunately, I's ain't, but I is now. Kwame Nkrumah said in 1961. At the Speech of Freedom, I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge not just as another world block to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear and envy and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Kwame Nkrumah. And unfortunately, a few years later, he said this. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. How true, huh? How true. Dr. Marimba Ani, to be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts. so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we're Africans, and because the future to which Europe leads us is genocide. Know the facts, brothers and sisters. Know the facts. It's genocide. You know, I tell you. Also, too, this weekend, aside from the pre-Kwanzaa celebration, which is a success, and I want to thank Sister Reba Kelsey, Baba Moriba Kelsey's daughter, for outstanding job as our host, and of course helping organize along myself and others. We also had the Pan-African Federalist Movement, and that turned out very well with brothers and sisters from around the world. Around the world, I mean, this is a movement that must be joined. It must be energized. We have to get this together, brothers and sisters. This is serious. This is serious. And this is why this is serious. This is why.
There is a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow in Africa. And a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams, and have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of real wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under U.S. war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
The time is now. Right now. Africa must unite. Now. The motto of this program is Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the motto of this program, African Perspectives, here. This program, that's the motto. That's why every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we talk about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Because to me, there's no other subject. Everything else is moot. We're not talking about how to get ourselves up to this madness, this insanity. And we're not talking about how we can free the land. Now, I know people talk about, well, the whole world is ours, everything, you know. Understanding the dynamics. Let's deal with the reality of the dynamics. The Europeans, who, because of their history, once again, I just made that quote from them, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at their history. Look at their relationship to us. Look what has happened over these many millennials, these many centuries. Look how they've done us. Look what we have done for them. Look how they have consistently
treated us. In the second half of the program, I'm going to read this piece from a British author about Trump. I mean, it's a decent piece, but the British have, you know, I have such deep disdain for the British. The British were probably the most brutal of the colonizers, along with the French, along with the Belgians and the Dutch and all the other Europeans, along with those individuals who sat at that table in Berlin in 1884 and 85 and bargained to get a piece of Africa. In fact, if it were not for Africa, Britain would not be, excuse me, not just Britain, but Europe would not be in the position that it is in today. You know. So we have to understand what our situation is. You know, I saw a piece, they're talking about building Wakanda. Building some countries getting together and building a city of Wakanda basically has a tourist attraction. Don't be no damn Wakanda. Unify Africa. Wasting your damn money on Wakanda while there's still African countries who are deeply in debt to Europeans. And to me, that debt should be erased. When you consider what has happened, the rape of Africa in its human resources as well as its mineral resources, that debt should be erased. And it can be erased if Africans unite. The only way that any of this can be stopped, any of this madness can be stopped, is the unification of African people. Bottom damn line. There is no other way. Okay, I know you want to pray. You want to pray. You want divine intervention. I don't know which God you want to pray to, whether you want to pray to African gods, Olodumare, Amun-Ra, you know, where you want to pray to the European gods, which most of y'all do any damn way. Jesus, Jehovah, whatever. You know, Islam. You want to pray to Allah. The bottom line is, it is not the prayers. It is not divine intervention. It is a sincere, committed effort of our minds and our hearts to come together to do the work. You want to pray that this shit happens by osmosis. It just, it ain't happening. It hasn't happened. It ain't happening now. And it damn it ain't going to happen. We have to do the work. We had in our pre-Kwanzaa programs, some of the educators, Brother Wakasa and his wife and the AYA school and sister from Quilombo, Sister Queen from Liberated Minds, all of them. And I know every right-thinking African understands that the education of our children is paramount. And the earlier, the better. If you give our children a solid, firm, African-centered education. Sorry about that. If you give our children a solid, firm, African-centered education, then as they get older, even if they're still going through school, they know who they are. They know what they're about. They know why they're there. They know they're not there to join clubs and socialize. No, they're there to get everything that school has to offer that will be a help towards the liberation of African people. They ain't there to join Greek letter fraternities. They ain't there to, as years go by, be a member of the Boule, the gatekeepers, the Negroes. They ain't there for that. They ain't there to form coalitions with Europeans and any other group outside of us. They ain't there for that. Because you have set the example. You have laid the foundation. These children know their responsibility of working together with other like-minded Africans. And if there are Africans on that campus, whether it is a high school or a university, college, whatever, and they engage in us, they engage in that, don't even bother with them, because your whole purpose, don't even mess with them. Because your whole purpose. Now, if you can get some of those brothers and sisters to the side or in a different setting and you talk to them and you see and find out that they're receptive, that they're open to understanding what it means to be African and to embrace that, fine. But if not, don't waste your time. Stay focused. It is not going to be, unfortunately, the masses of us that are going to make this move. It is going to be a solid core group of us who are committed and sincere to going back, because whether you like it or not, I don't know, you know, there's so many of us who want to reform this, who want to change this, and believe that somehow that can happen. Because, you know, we fought the Indians too. You know, we built this. This is just as much ours as it is theirs. And we built this up just as Negro, please. You will always be in a position of servitude if Europeans are in control. That is going to be a fact. As Dr. Bobby Wright said, and I love his essay. If you haven't read his essay, Psychopathic Racial Personalities, please go to the bookstores I have mentioned. Go to the Shrine, open on Saturdays and Fridays and Saturdays from 1 to 7 on Ralph David Abernathy in the West End. Go to Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Open every day. Go to the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go see Mama Nia. They have that book. Get that book. Read that essay. There's other essays in there. In fact, the person who coined the term menticide is Dr. Bobby Wright, a deliberate destroying of a people's mind. Destroying our mind. We are at war for the minds of our people. And we are suffering through this. So, you know, I'm going to take a break in a minute. I'm going to come back from the break. I'm going to read this article. I'm just say unequivocally the article, you know, because it how it reads, it gives an example of how, you know, British are and how they are and how Americans are and how they are, you know, but I put no distinctions between any other Europeans. In fact, I have deep disdain for the British and for the French. And of course, the military arm of Europeans is the United States. The United States is the military arm of the European. Oh, yes, I know they fought in a couple of world wars, in World War One and World War Two, and, you know, the Axis and the Allies, all that. But the reality is Europeans, whether you want to call them Russians, Europeans, whether you want to call them Eastern Europeans, Western Europeans, Australians, whatever, British, Brazilians, Argentinians, whatever you want to call the Europeans, a lot of the Europeans' mindset is dominance and control. They don't want to share. That is not in their DNA. That is not a part of their evolutionary development. When you look at it basically, how Europeans develop, it is not a part of that. They want to dominate and control. That's like when I saw that presentation when Dr. Frances Kress was still with us. She had a presentation here in Atlanta. Her and Mama Marimba, nice, beautiful picture of those two sitting together. And but she had a presentation where she said she had an epiphany when she was in her kitchen on the what happens with Caucasians, because she was trying to, you know, go over with Brother Neely Fuller, and they had written the compensatory code of color confrontation, color consciousness, or coloration, or colorism, you know. And she said that what came across was that when the European began to look at, you know, as he ventured out and going into other lands and raping women and seeing the offspring not looking like them, caused an innate fear in them of genetic annihilation. And so therefore they must control the world, because they can be genetically annihilated. And of course, as you see today, what she was saying had validity, because today Europeans, as humans, are decreasing tremendously. They have been experiencing negative population growth for a few decades. That means for every one that's born, two die. If I want to put it, for every two that die, only one is born. And so globally, it's just like here, this brought it home to me when those Syrians, about this around the same time that French situation happened, where all of us were putting on our Facebook pages the French colors and so forth because of that so-called terrorist attack in France. Man, I was so mad because I can't stand the French. I mean, it's not that I didn't want something bad to happen. Let me say this. I want something bad to happen to all them crackers, okay? Because they deserve it. But listen, I don't care about that. I don't care about revenge. What I want to happen is that African people coming into their right mind, understanding and believing in ourselves and trusting and loving one another to build for ourselves. That's what I want to see happen. And for us to go home to Africa and the Africans on the continent understand the same thing. And we kick out the Chinese, we kick out the Arabs, we kick out the Indians, we kick out the Europeans, and we control our resources. We control our land. We manage that. We build roads. We build highways. We build sewer systems, energy systems, ports, houses, subdivisions, I'm almost about to say churches. Don't build no damn churches. Hospitals and schools. Build hospitals and schools. That's the problem now. That's right. That's what the problem is. Damn churches. And I don't mean chicken. That's what the problem is. Churches. Well, that's another subject. Brothers and sisters, when I come back, I'm going to read this particular piece. And I want you to join the conversation. Please do. At 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Emotion is the message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Upon a time, we had our land, our culture, and our minds. Surely we had tribes, but we all lived right there in Africa. Things began to change. There were forces that
message.
That's a fact. Your emoji is the message. A call for unity. Ashe. Oh, that's right. I forgot the other part of it. Oh, Brother Oshie.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
All right. Once again, thank you for... I tell you, you know, I try my best. And so any of the glitches or quirks or imperfections chalk it up to my head, not my heart, because I try my best, okay? I try my best. Yeah. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, once again, this program here, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Tonight, this Monday, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming, out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed, followed by, from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Cambon and her daughter, Nataki Cambon. That is followed by, from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Tuesday, from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, from 7 to 9, Melanin Live with Chief Lance Jones and Sister Bonisiwa Ayan. And then on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m., that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday, from 7 to 9 on Sunday, is Time for an Awakening. Once again, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. You know, like I said, I have a deep disdain for the British, but I thought this article that was written by this guy named Nate White from England was on point. Although it says some nice things about Britain, which to me, there are no nice things. Because what you have that is ugly here, it was ugly there. Do you understand what I'm saying? What you have here was there. The predominance of what America is was Britain. The language we speak, the all these was Britain. Yeah, there's some modifications here and there, but the mentality, the selfish, greedy mentality is the same. British writer pens the best description of Trump I've read. Why do some British people don't like Donald Trump? Nate White, an articulate and witty writer from England, wrote the following response. A few things spring to mind. Trump lacks certain qualities which the British traditionally esteem. For instance, he has no class, no charm, no coolness, no credibility, no compassion, no wit, no warmth, no wisdom, no subtlety, no sensitivity, no self-awareness, no humility, no honor, and no grace. All qualities, funnily enough, with which his predecessor, Barack Obama, was generously blessed. So for us, the stark contrast does rather throw Trump's limitations into an embarrassingly sharp relief. Plus, we like to laugh. Yeah, that's right, Britain. You think everything's so damn funny. And while Trump may be laughable, he has never once said anything, Ray, witty or even faintly amusing. The reason why I'm reading this, y'all, because I agree with it. I agree with this guy saying about Trump. You know, not once ever did he say anything. I don't say that rhetorically. I meant it quite literally. Not once, not ever. And the fact is particularly disturbing to the British sensibilities. For us, to lack humor is almost inhuman. But with Trump, it's a fact. He doesn't even seem to understand what a joke is. His idea of a joke is a crash comment, illiterate insult, a casual act of cruelty. Trump is a troll. And like all trolls, he is never funny and he never laughs. He only crows or jeers. And sarcastically, he doesn't just talk in crude, witless insults. He actually thinks in them. His mind is a simple bot, like an algorithm of petty prejudices and knee-jerk nastiness. There is never any underlayer of irony, complexity, nuance, or depth. It's all surface. Some Americans might see this as refreshingly upfront. Well, the British don't. We see it as having no inner world, no soul. And in Britain, we traditionally side with David, not Goliath. All our heroes are plucky underdogs. Yeah, right. Robin Hood, Dick Whittington. I don't know who that guy is. Oliver Twist. Trump is neither plucky nor an underdog. He is the exact opposite of that. He is not even a spoiled rich boy or a greedy fat cat. He's more of a fat white slug, a Jabba the Hutt of privilege. A fat white slug, a Jabba the Hutt. And worse, he is that most unforgivable of all things to the British, a bully. That is exact when he is among bullies. Then he subtly transforms into a sniveling sidekick instead. You notice that with Putin. You notice that even with Kim Jong-un and others. They are unspoken rules to this stuff. The Queensberry rules of basic decency. The Queensberry rules, of course, are of boxing. The Queensberry rules of boxing. And he breaks them all. He punches downward, which a gentleman should and would and could never do. And every blow he aims is below the belt. He particularly likes to kick the vulnerable or the voiceless, and he kicks them when they are down. So to the fact that a significant minority, perhaps a third of Americans look at what he does, listen to what he says, and then think, he seems like my kind of guy, is a matter of some confusion and no little stress to the British people, given that Americans are supposed to be nicer than British, and most of them are. You don't need a particularly keen eye for detail to spot a few flaws in Trump. That's for damn sure. This last point is what especially confuses and dismays British people and many other people too. His faults seem pretty bloody hard to miss. After all, it is impossible to read a single tweet or hear him speak a sentence or two without a staring deep into the abyss. He turns being artless into an art. He turns being artless into an art form. He is a Picasso of pettiness, a Shakespeare of shit. His faults are factual. Even his flaws have flaws. And so on and at an addendum. God knows there have always been stupid people in the world and plenty of nasty people too. But rarely has his stupidity been so nasty or his nastiness so stupid. He makes Richard Nixon look trustworthy and George W. Bush look smart. In fact, if Frankenstein decided to make a monster assembly tired from human flaws, he would make Trump. And a remorseful Dr. Frankenstein would clutch big clumps of his hair out and scream in anguish, "My God, what have I created?" If being a twerp was a TV show, Trump would be a box set. Like I said, I have great disdain for the British, but I remember when I read that some months ago, because it is kind of old. But it was on point. It is. It is Trump. That's why Trump is killing. Trump this year alone have executed, I think, 13 people already, and he has four more to go. He's going to execute 17 people. The initial four or five he executed were Caucasians to give the appearance. But these last five, well, one is a Caucasian woman and the other are our brothers. And he's going to do it. He's not going to stay any of them. He's going to do it. Number one, because we didn't vote for him. Because he's a vindictive, petty man. So he's definitely going to do it. And he has the power to do it. But what is interesting is how the Caucasians generally, even though in his rational mind or his irrational mind, the fact that on that Tuesday night, when he decided that, hey, man, I'm leading big time in these so-called battleground states. I'm just going to go to bed and in the morning, you know, bask in my victory. But of course, those were the votes that were counted on election day. The votes that have not been counted were prior, the mail-ins, the early voting. Heavily Democratic. And so in those places, when you started to see the votes come in, Pennsylvania from the areas of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, when you started to see the votes come in from Milwaukee area in Wisconsin, Atlanta area here in Georgia, in the Detroit area in Michigan, the tide had turned. You know, his naivety, believing that all these votes, and the fact, he said, and the fact, I got more votes than any other. More people were eligible to vote 4 years later, if not hundreds of thousands, millions maybe, were more eligible to vote. And many people who did not vote in 2016, because a lot of people did not vote in 2016, voted in 2020. And a lot of them did not vote for his ass. Want to join me in this conversation? If you have already are on, and some of you are, you can hit pound to join the conversation. But if you want to, you know, you can hang up and call back. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We do have a caller. Mama Nabantu, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. And great job with the Pan-African Federalist Movement yesterday. And, of course, our at the pre-Kwanzaa celebration with our Harambes.
I appreciate you doing the libation for us. I mean, it was right on point, and all Africans needed to hear it in the way you said it. So I do appreciate that. And the commercial that you have, I have lost it. I would love for you to send it to me because I need to share it with some other people.
I will do that. I will definitely do that.
Yeah, it was a good start in terms of beginning to really, really see the motivation. The mobilization that's necessary for this to happen by 2023.
How many countries were on the call yesterday? Do you know?
They were about, I know there's a total of 24 from all the various countries that met for the business part. You know, you were there for the general Africans, but for those who were from the various different countries from, they were from East Africa, Central Africa, West Africa, North Africa, Southern Africa, were all represented, as well as the people in Latin America and the Caribbean. They were all represented.
Outstanding. I say, okay. I mean, that's what has to happen. We, we got to be consistent. We can't delay. It has to happen now. So, you know, there's got to be a consistent progression towards that end. You know, you can't like, okay, we did it, now let's, you know, take off 4, 5 months, 6. No, we got to continue to do it. Yeah.
We got work, and I got work to do today to keep it going.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it, Mama Nabantu, really do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And thank you for this show. This is so, it's just like something we need every day.
Well, I tell you, I for me, I felt that Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I could do that. For 2 hours a day, I can definitely do that. I could, you know, I could be up for it. I could put my time into it. I could do some research for it and so forth. So that's my contribution. And to me, being able, because I know I have listeners in Africa. I have listeners in the UK. I have listeners in the Caribbean. And so, and of course, across the country. And so whatever I can do. Like I said, that's what this program is about. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's what it is about. And so if you want to hear what's going on from an African-centered perspective, from an African worldview, this is one place that you could come. You know, and if
you're right, and
if you got ideas, if you got some concepts, if you want to talk about something, this is the one place you can come. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
thank you. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. Because you know, one of the things that I know from our ancestors, particularly our warrior scholars, has they toiled. A lot of them toiled without foundation money or grant money. They did what they did for the love of our people. And I know that one of the things they would have loved to see before they made their transition was the progression towards a unified African, you know, a unified Africa and a unifying of African people, you know.
But
and so I feel the same way. You know, I don't know when my transition will be. Hope it's, you know, sometime from now, and that I will make a contribution towards that movement, whatever that might be. So, yeah. So I appreciate that, Mama Nabantu. Got anything else?
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Go ahead, dear.
Oh, yeah, because I got kicked off for a minute.
Oh.
I just want, you know, we had the pre-Kwanzaa, which was great, and we're getting ready to do the 7 days and virtually. And for those who know about any virtual Kwanzaa that's happening, please send it to the website of KwanzaaAssociation.org.
Okay, we're
trying to go national. And there are many that we can listen to who would not have been able to had it not been for this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take this opportunity to send any information about any Kwanzaa that's taking place across the country at KwanzaaAssociation.org.
KwanzaaAssociation.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will promote that and push that all the way up into the time. You see, I played Seven Principles, Brother Kwame and Shavinduka, Unity.
Yeah, that was,
yeah.
I remember I had that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's from the Seven Principles CDs from back in the 90s, and you can go to YouTube and listen to all eight. There's eight songs in there because there's actually there's nine because there's another song mm-hmm. that they put in there on that CD. But I mean, I love mm-hmm. that. And I love them. I know them. I've met them way back when, because they're out of Chicago. They're out of
right.
Yeah.
Right. I have it somewhere in the house.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah. They're out of Chicago. So I'll be playing that for the rest of the time. And yep. Brother Kwame Cobb or Steve Cobb was his name. He changed it to Kwame. And I'm not sure what his last African name is, but Brother Kwame and Sister Shavinduka. She has a beautiful voice, doesn't she? I mean, mm-hmm. wow, she has a beautiful voice. There's some, there's a couple of songs that are just, that are going to play that are just simply magnificent. But, okay, KwanzaaAssociation.org. I'm going to look that up. I'll be pushing and promoting that. So if anybody around the country, wherever you are, you know, contact them. And so we're going to try to, you know, because this is a great opportunity. Just like I got Baba Barudi on Wednesday. Brother Mwali Mubarudi will be on with me on Wednesday. I will not have a lot of announcements. I'm going to go right after the opening, right into the discussion with Baba Barudi. And, you know, whatever amount of time that he has, I'll be appreciated. And I love it, you know, when he can do it. Because I know how busy he is. I mean, seriously, you know.
Yeah.
And
how
so,
he writes books, yeah. I don't know.
I know. I know. He's prolific. He is prolific, you know, man, I love him. I love him. I never forget when I met him and I had a book of his and, you know, and this was like maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago. And I was in Milwaukee. He came to Milwaukee. In fact, my dear friend, who was an ancestor, Queen Ifama, had brought him to Milwaukee. And, and a lot of things that he was saying, I was like, I'm admired. And so when I got here to Atlanta, it was around right before, it was in October of 14. And so I saw him at Kwanzaa and I reintroduced myself to him. at Kwanzaa, him and his lovely wife, Yah. And of course, the connection and friendship is always, will always be solid. And so, hopefully, last time I tried to have him on, I had technical difficulties, you know. And I'm hoping and praying that this Wednesday there will be no technical difficulties. So me and Bubba Rudy and all you listeners, and please call in. He'll answer your questions or comments or questions or concerns that you may have. So please call in. Yeah. So I'm going to get this information out on KwanzaaAssociation.org and other Kwanzaa information, because really, and I've been saying this, you know, Kwanzaa can be and could and should be the key to the glue that makes it happen.
Mm.
You know, because talking about what we should be doing, and you're talking about what we should be doing 24/7, 365. I know it's that 1 week, December 26th to January 1st, but those principles should be instilled in our everyday life.
365, right?
That's right, you know? See, so that's why, to me, anytime that you can reflect on it, anytime you can mention that, anytime you can stir that consciousness in our people, it must be done. But hopefully that you embrace it, the whole idea, 24/7, 365. Yep, I agree. All right. So anybody else got any comments, questions, or concerns? I got a call here. 414. 414, good afternoon.
Hey, Brother O.C., how you doing?
Oh, it's Brother LaRue Ned, Black Laws for Black People. What's up, man? How you doing?
Not a whole bunch, man. You said about everything I could say, but you know what? It's easy to get into trouble, but it's awful hard to get out of it. And we are in trouble. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, we are, but what it takes is that we can, I know I use an analogy that the European has a vice grip on our minds,
right?
You know, and if you understand the tool of the vice grip, once the vice grip is set, once they clamp it, you know, not even the strongest man can pull it apart, but there's that knob at the end of the handle, and acquiring knowledge of self helps you turn that knob. And the more knowledge and confidence you have in yourself and understanding who you are, that tension is released until finally, bam, you spring open the vice grip. But not that you challenge Caucasians, because Caucasians suffer from cognitive dissonance. They believe they're superior. And ain't a damn thing that we can do or say to prove them otherwise, even though there's a plethora of information to prove that they're not. But they don't want to hear it. And they sure in hell, damn it, don't want to hear it from us. And so we should not waste our time, just like I just read in the N.Y.A. Sasim, trying to use moral persuasion and trying to have our suffering, that Caucasian will look at our suffering and being redemptive and feel sorry for us and feel sorry for what they did to us. That, damn it, ain't happening. The bottom line is that when you open that vice grip and you know who you are, damn them. They suffer from cognitive dissonance, because anything other than their belief of their superiority is uncomfortable, is unsettling, and cannot be, you know, we dismiss it, we ignore it. They also has Dr. D'Angelo, Caucasian, who coined the term white fragility, because when all this stuff was happening about 5 or 6 years ago with Trayvon Martin and then Michael Brown and so forth, she had some workshops with Caucasians. Only with Caucasians, she Caucasian, you know, and what she found, that they didn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the fact of how this country was developed and what it did. They don't want to hear the fact that things they stole and robbed and killed. They don't want to hear the fact that they had genocide on the Tasmanian people, on Aqua Indian people in the Caribbean. They don't want to hear none of that.
No, they don't.
Because they want to believe that they're good, moral people. In fact, their understanding belief is that what we did was civilize the world. We came and brought civilization, you know. See?
It saved us from ourselves.
Yeah, right. You know? That's what they want to promote and push, you know?
And you know what's strange is that same ideology is watch the educational channels, and they're running this one that's called The History of Mankind, the history of all of us. But the thing about it is that they're telling the history of all of us through their eyes.
Right.
And the way that they present it, man, the white man invented everything. He created everything.
Would you say the Caucasian invented air? Is that what you said? That's what it sounds like.
You know, they're getting there.
Yeah.
It's exactly what Carson said in 1933, you know, how they, the miseducation of the Negro, how they invented everything, and they make us look like we didn't do nothing in this world, man.
I said they want us to believe that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never having created anything of any kind, of any consequence or significance. And of course, nothing can be further from the truth. But that's what they want us to believe. That, in fact, right. They want us to believe that we came and saved them, even though we took their land, even though we enslaved them, even though we did all these horrendous, just despicable things. You should be thankful. And you know what, Brother LaRue? There are Negroes in this country today, at this very moment, who are thankful for Caucasians for enslaving us. Because they took us out of Africa. I could be in Africa worshiping a tree, but I'm here in America, and I'm here at this beautiful Baptist church, and I got this great job, and I live. In fact, I'm the only black in my neighborhood. Mentality.
You know, it's kind of like in the beginning, how black African people resistance to slavery was so overwhelming that they knew they had to make adjustments. Mm-hmm. And so they would get another black person and put him in charge of the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one they put in charge would be so thankful because now he gets to eat a little bit better scraps than everybody else.
That's right.
So he's working hard to defend his position.
Mm-hmm.
And today it's the same. It's almost the same type of scenario.
Sure it is.
So we got black people who are making money. But they have no clue I'll say that there's really not a whole lot being done to, especially in the public ear, to uplift black people. We're all the same under the skin. But it's crazy how, but that's the money whip, man. They replaced the nine tails with the money whip, man. And a lot of us are. Some of us are, but I think some of us are doing a good job too, you know. So it's not all bad.
Well, you know, in terms of capitalism, as far as I'm concerned, is an evil system. In fact, it is because of capitalism that you have racism and all these other isms. Capitalism denotes that for one person to have, a whole bunch of people can't have a damn thing. This is so ridiculous and so insidious. In fact, when you look at this country, that's why I'm saying there will never be anything of any remote possibility of equality and fairness and justice for African people in this country ever. In fact, from a monetary standpoint, it is so out of whack that it would take over 230 years where Caucasians' economics would be frozen, and it would take 230 years for us to be equal. That's how out of whack it is. In fact, the average Caucasian has 10 times more than what we have, 10 times. They have 170,000 on average, and we have 17,000 on average.
So, you know what, in the midst of all of this, man, I look at it like, to me, the most important thing right now is for us to be able to get along with each other. You want to say that? Can we work together? How we view and value each other? Those things are important for our growth and development. And so that's what I'm looking at. He can run around the world, do what he want to do, but we have to develop our world inside of their world, if you want to put it that way, because we're in this culture.
Right.
But we have to begin to do it in our homes and develop our African perspective, at least at a in our homes.
Right.
It's got to be there, because it's not going to happen in the public education system.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And that's why that's why Kwanzaa, and in fact, that's why Kwanzaa being virtue is interesting, because now it is in your home. You can have Kwanzaa in your home. And that's what initially was. Those were the first Kwanzaa I experienced back in Milwaukee in the early parts, in the mid late 70s is when I first started, going to Kwanzaa,
Right.
But anyway, so,
good libation, man. You really do a good libation. There's no doubt about that.
Well, thank you, man. I was saying to a brother about libations, as long as you're true, you do the way you want to do it. As long as you are sincere and committed and you want to honor our ancestors, you want to honor our people, then you do it. If you take, like for me, Brother Teju. Teju is one of he's an international storyteller. Teju is multi-talented, but Teju's libations are elaborate. They're great. He's got the honey. He's got the gin. He's got the water. He pours to the four winds. Everything. Teju is outstanding. And Brother Tolakum, you remember Tolakum Omukunde? So I took a little bit, and from even Tony Courtney, I took some little bits from those brothers and the sisters for their libation and formulate my own. And that's what you do, because I want to honor our ancestors. I want us to know our true greatness. I want us to pay respect and reverence to those who came before us, because we truly do stand on their shoulders. We truly do. They did some great things. Let me get another call, LaRue. You stay with me, brother. All right.
I will.
447-447. Good afternoon. 447. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good morning to you.
What's up, Brother Paul? How are you, man?
Oh.
Brother Paul, you
there?
Sorry,
Brother Oshie. I didn't catch that. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Got you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yep. Go ahead. Hello? Go ahead. Yep. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, Brother Oshie. I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
I can hear you loud and clear.
Good. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for taking my call. It's always a pleasure to be on the platform and share my information. Just say hello to Theodore and Brother Marcus and anybody else who's reached out to me. Absolutely on point. And I most appreciate your fantastic show and your the ability for this to happen.
Well, I appreciate it, man.
Very important.
Definitely.
And one of the reasons why I rang you, Baba Ochi, is your hate and your disdain for the British.
hey, man, it's genuine, believe me. And it's been a long time festering, too, believe me.
Yeah.
Hey.
You know what, Baba Ochi? I every time you say that, I do have a little giggle. I do have a little laugh because, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. Absolutely understand and innerstand where you're coming from. But my mother always told us that hate is a wasted emotion. You spend too much time hating. And they say love and hate have a very close relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I absolutely understand where you're coming from. But, for me personally, I haven't got time to hate these people at all, because I know we got work to do.
Right.
Tremendous, and I just don't want to give them one part of my thought process. I don't want to give them my time. I just don't want to give them that thing here, because I know that. And what work am I talking about? Like, look, mm-hmm. I totally respect your position, and I love to hear it. But this is the way I'm coming from. I told you before, you're similar age as my father. He's yes. almost the same age.
Right.
Same age. And he has the same kind of outlook of you, and that's probably something to do with generation. And I've spoken to him many times, and he doesn't agree with me. So I don't expect many people to agree with me. But I've always thought, my father being a martial artist, and I had no sisters, I just had brothers, and we was all trained in martial arts from 8 years old, through boxing, kickboxing, karate, we done it all. And the bottom line is I've always developed the mindset, and being involved with these people who you call the British, white British and whatever. One thing I know about them, and I can't lie to you, is that they can fight like hell, and they can really fight. And not only can they really fight, they specialize and study fighting 24/7, 365. Mm-hmm. They're war machines. They study war 24/7, 365. They develop weaponry 24/7, 365. So I don't think it's unreasonable to suggest that they're not going to give up one inch of this planet without a fight. Because I can only assume they're studying it so much, 24/7, 365, because they don't intend to give up one inch of it. So the bottom line, and that's anywhere on the globe. You know, I don't think people fully understand what's going on. I keep telling you when I ring here that the reason why you speak in English is because these people are in control of your culture and in control of your mind. Let me give another instance what they're in control of. They're in control of Washington, D.C. That belongs to the Queen, by the way. It's owned by the Corporation of London. I don't know if you knew that, but I heard that.
I've heard
Washington,
that.
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fact. It's fact. I don't think the people know what's going on. And that's why you speak English. That's why most of your presidents were directly collected by blood to the royal family, the aristocracy. Mm-hmm. They've never given up that place. This place called America, yeah? Right? Mm-hmm. That was the first colony of this place. The first colony. And they have never given it up, ever. And if they did give it up, that means you wouldn't be speaking the language. But they've enforced it. They teach you English. They shove it down your throat because it's a weapon of war. It's a weapon of war. Mm-hmm. You see, in school when we're children, we don't know no better. Yeah, we just go into the school and do as we're told. But as an adult, you use analytical thinking. You need integrity. You need intelligence. And then you work out the reason why we are speaking their language. We're Africans because they've used it as a weapon of war
sure.
to control our minds.
Sure.
And we've not woken up to that.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is that we don't study war. We do not. In actual fact, most times here, when you try and speak to black people about war, they tell you the craziest thing they'll say, I'm not into violence. Well, let me tell you something. Wakey time, right? War is the ultimate, that's the definition in an Oxford dictionary. It's the ultimate form of violence. That's what war is. Mm-hmm. And they have schools for war, which they study 365 all year round. So they're not playing.
Right.
They're not just going to say because we're walking up and down the streets, because we're marching and making protests. They're not going to say, okay, we're going to give you all back. By the way, the Corporation of London and this stock exchange in England, which is connected to that in America, Wall Street, yeah? Especially Britain, they probably own more of African materials in terms of gold, oil and diamonds than any other country on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, that's
yes.
a fact.
Yes.
The Corporation of London.
Yes.
More than China.
Right.
More
that's
than America.
What...
More than America, as
right.
big as you are and as rich as you think you are, they are more than it in Africa. And they don't intend to give one inch of it up without
no.
a fight.
And that's what I'm saying. That's
you
what
know,
I'm saying, Paul.
Thing. I read...
Paul, that's what I'm saying. That's why I have such deep... I have an understanding of who they are. I know the British. I know the Europeans. I have an understanding of who they are and their greedy, selfish nature to this present day. And why in this country, Paul, in this country, and people will tell you if you don't know, they always idolize the royals. They have their ass on the news all the time. There's movies. There's a series on public television. They idolize the royals. And these people and their etiquette and their...
Can I explain some of that to you?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Paul.
Can I help you out with some of that?
Go ahead, Paul.
This Queen Elizabeth, right? Remember, this Queen Elizabeth... Are you there?
I'm here. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. All right. The Queen of England, Elizabeth II, okay? She comes from the House of Habsburg. She's of German descent, okay? German descent, okay? She's the only one who, and her family is not indigenous to this land. Those who you call in the British are made up of the Scottish, the Irish, Northern Ireland, the Welsh, and the so-called English. The original people who lived in the land where I live, called England, they were the Welsh. They were run out by the English into Wales, okay? The closest people by genetics to the English are the Germans, right?
Really?
They fought a war.
Really? Hold on, Paul.
If you lived here, you would know that the...
That's interesting. You said the closest to the English is the Germans. Hello?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Let me explain that again. Yeah. Hello? Yeah.
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Even the language. Mm-hmm. See, the English are a mixed bunch of people. Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, a very mixed bunch, right? But there are many rivalries, because you know that over the history, there's been many wars between the English and the Scottish. And right now, the Scottish want to break away from the Union. And so do the Welsh. So there's not harmony in these people you call the British. There's no harmony down here. They are fighting for self-destination right here. But the truth of the matter is, I know they play a game in America. They don't show you who their identities are, because they need to hold on to that land and not show you the wars they're fighting in their root lands. Yeah. Now, one interesting fact is, in America, you have Germantown, I think you call it, yeah?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, they would never, ever, ever have a Germantown in England. That couldn't happen. And the reason why it couldn't happen, because they fought a war where almost 65 million people got killed. They hate each other even to this day, right? Even the Germans, they hate each other. And it's funny, they hate each other when they are genetically probably most closest to each other. Isn't that strange? Yeah, so I'm just trying to explain what's going on. Because at the end of the day, right, even the Germans have a claim in Africa. I mean, you know, Namibia, I think the country is.
Exactly.
They still almost rule down
exactly.
there. They've got their own
and,
city down there.
Right, and they still do. Okay. Hey, Paul, they still do.
Right.
They still do in Namibia. They still run it, just like the Caucasians, the Dutch and so forth, still run South Africa. Go ahead, Paul.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, this is my point. Why am I rambling on like this? My point is this, and this is where I differ than my dad and most people. We better start about how we're going to fight, because they're not going to give up one inch. And one thing which I was reading about Sheikh Chivari, when he left Cuba and went to fight in the Congo guerrilla war,
right?
And I read what he said
in Angola,
and it was quite worrying to me.
Mm-hmm.
1964, I think it was. Right.
Right.
He said that when he went there, he said that the Africans did not know how to fight. He said that. It's not me saying that. He said that. He said they didn't know warfare. They didn't know how to dig trenches. There's so many different things that they didn't understand.
Right.
Yeah?
Right.
And I thought, wow.
Right.
The African is supposed to be the warrior. What I'm trying to explain to you, yeah, we need to really be real about this thing, because if we don't develop a mindset like the last week when we had that guest you had on, I loved him to death.
Oh yeah, brother.
Because if we
brother
don't
Mukasa.
Develop a mindset,
yeah, brother Mukasa,
we're gonna have to have a battle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we might as well forget it and wait to go back into slavery. We might as well give up and go back to say, because most of the people I talk to, they're not ready for that. They're not interested in that. They're just interested in the fantasy talk, the romantic talk, and all that. And that ain't going to win, because these people are prepared to hold on to every inch without and not give up one.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I'm just saying, I really respect your point. I do, yeah? And it's not for us to come on these ears and tell people, to take up arms and whatever. But we need to develop a mindset that, Marcus Garvey says, when our back's up against the wall, that's who we're going to know ourselves, yeah? And I heard my great brother Marcus say, well, it seems like our backs are in the wall. Well, I think we're waiting to be bricked over. Most of us are waiting to be bricked over so we become part of the wall. And that ain't no solution to win. That ain't no solution to this. All the talking, marching, planning ain't no solution. Some stage we got to realize we're going to have to fight.
Yeah. Well, I've been listening to Grandmaster Jay of the no fucking around coalition, you know, in fact, no FAC, you know, and of course he's fighting a legal battle because of a situation that happened in Louisville, Kentucky, where they got him saying that he pointed guns at the, which is a state and federal offense. And so he's out and he's, you know, I guess you can get him on YouTube, Grandmaster Jay. And I applaud him. I really love to get him on this program because I applaud him for the stance that he took. When I first found out about him was, you know, back about in the springtime, you know, and then of course he made that move here in Atlanta at Stone Mountain because they talked, there were some people here in Atlanta talking about killing our people. And so he came and that squashed that. But, and of course it squashed it in Louisville too, you know, and he is constantly getting more and more people.
But Ochi, you know, I'm glad.
Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, Brother Ochi, I don't mean to be rude and cut you, yeah?
No,
but
go
I'm
ahead.
I'm glad you raised that point, yeah? It's a very profound point. You know that, brother, yeah? Let me tell you, you know what I find disturbing, brother Ochi, is I'm looking on the internet and social media, is the attacks he's been getting from other blacks, a lot of black males especially, and this is what we do. Oh, he's an agent, he's this, he's that, oh, he's got guns, all this sort of nonsense talk, and this is how he behaves.
Right.
That sickens me to death.
Yeah.
That cowardly sharpshooting behavior. It stickers me to death, yeah? But anyway, let me take it further than that, yeah? I saw a thing here in this country, right? And this is real. After what that brother did, let me show you how that reverberated around the world, what he did, which was significant. I saw here, we had reparations every year. One of the problems we have with reparations, the group who's for reparations, similar to in Cobra you've got there, they go marching every year, yeah? And because these people don't want to pay us nothing, they want to ignore us and pretend
right.
like nothing happened. Why are we
right.
unhappy? Why don't we just accept our fate? We've got education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, yeah? They don't give us no news coverage, yeah? Now, a group, I know one of them, who set up a similar organization to Brother Grandmaster Jay, yeah?
Right.
Dressed in black, military-style uniform, very orderly, et cetera, et cetera. The only difference is then we don't carry guns here. We have no right under the Constitution to bear arms or nothing like that. So we can't carry arms here. Yeah? But they were like that. Now, they were obviously sympathizing and following what the brother did. And I think it's actually, I've looked into it, they're another chapter. They're actually a chapter of that same organization. But what I'm saying is that was the first time on that reparations march when those brothers turned up, when the newspapers actually looked at the reparation and it was in every paper. It got so, you know, actually, I don't know if even people here know this, but I was watching the parliamentary debate in Parliament, yeah, where all our elected officials meet, yeah, and there was a politician who was so concerned that he was bringing up some old law that to try and suggest that they shouldn't be allowed to walk in those black uniforms. They felt threatened. They've never seen such things in this time, yeah? So what I'm saying to you, right, it's very significant what he done.
Yes.
Very significant.
I agree.
I've seen him on UK TV, and
yes.
I know he's gone around the world. Well, it was a show of strength, and that's
yes.
what's significant, because we can't keep seeing black men killed and murdered,
yes.
no consequence. No, oh,
I agree.
The people just get paid out like you're some big cowards, like you're frightened to stand up for your rights, and these people just kill you off like you're nothing. You can't keep seeing that. They can't keep showing the world that picture, because it makes you look like you're ready for the slaughterhouse.
Yeah, I agree. Let me catch
that's
another
the truth. That's that is the picture they're showing to the world.
Right.
The picture they're showing to the world is that you down there can't fight for yourself. You're ready for the slaughterhouse. Give
and
up
if,
on you.
And,
that's
and,
the picture they're showing to the world.
And if
that's
they listen,
so someone has to stand up.
And if we can't do it in America, then the whole world of African people can't do it, because we're so fragmented and divided on a continent and
right.
everywhere
Thank
else.
You. Thank you.
So that's so. Let me
yeah.
catch another call, Paul.
That's the picture. That's the picture they show.
Exactly. Let me catch this. 646-646. Good afternoon.
Yeah, what's going on, OC? I'm just listening. Continue.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Continue.
All right, Jay. How you doing, man? Did you have a good weekend?
I had a beautiful weekend, man. How was your weekend?
Everything was cool, brother. Appreciate it.
Oh, all right. Right quick.
Yeah.
Right quick. It seems like they're going to give Julian Assange an apartment. I just read it that Trump is going to give Julian Assange an apartment. So that's going to be real interesting. I would love to see what the pushback is going to be like on that. Because like I said, you know, I hope they give my man Kwame Kilpatrick a apartment.
Definitely.
Exactly.
I hope he comes to his damn senses, but he probably won't, and stays the execution of those other three brothers in that Caucasian one.
You gotta kill some black meat, bro. You know, come on. You know, I don't know if he killed any white meat. I think there's a white woman that they may do. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I think
it is.
I've seen a picture it of is. Him. But no, his objective is to kill, you know, black folks. But then again, you know, let's be honest and let's be clear. You know, he's no worse than Joe Biden, who basically down talked to you like he was your master and you was his slave. And you know, man, listen, we gotta get out of here. We gotta figure out how we as a people could get out of here, or we could go to some small town and build up something for ourselves and maybe do some satellite trade with Africa or something, and basically, in a sense, separate ourselves and govern ourselves for this onslaught that's about to come at the hands of this Urugu. Because ain't nothing about to get better, man. You know, the thing is, on the media, what did they have the first person taking a vaccine? A Negro, foreign Negro, a Jamaican or Barbadian or whatever the hell she was. But she was a Negro taking some vaccination that they haven't even tested for a year.
Jay, what did they do when they brought it out? They said, well, you know, a lot of the Negroes, they want to take it. So they said, Fauci and others say, hey, this black woman helped develop this vaccine. So because this black woman helped develop this vaccine, you should take it.
Yep. So now you get a black woman to be the face on television to take the vaccination in America. Listen to what I just said to you. In America, they've had the white woman in other countries take the vaccination. But the thing is this. What are we going to say 10 years from now when the lawsuit come out and they ask you, did you take the vaccination? Are you going to be one of those big ones that said, yes, I did? Or are you going to be one of those that said, no, I didn't take it? Because any intelligent black person would wait a year or two.
Yeah. Yes.
To see
what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, hey, listen, Jay.
All you have to do is just continue to wear a mask and be safe.
And please do that. Right. Please do that. But Jay, there was a black woman who was injecting syphilis into us down in Tuskegee. Okay.
Of course.
You know, she claimed initially she didn't know, and I'm not going to dispute that she didn't know, but. Then later on, she knew, you know.
Yeah, but
listen, my time is up.
What did she do when she knew?
She kept doing it.
She didn't alarm the people.
Right.
She didn't go out there and give them the penicillin.
Right.
She didn't do anything to make and alleviate them people of the pain and suffering that they were facing. She just went along with it, like most Negroes are trained to do. Listen, the bottom line is this. If somebody wants to take the vaccination, don't discourage them. Just be intelligent enough to keep your effing mouth shut and watch what's going on. And then after a period of two or 3 years, if it's deemed to be successful and viable, then if you decide you want to take it, then take it. But don't let nobody force you and coerce you into taking something that may be a detriment to your health. Just practice safety. And listen, OC, as always, have a good day, brother. Hold up.
Hold up. Brother Paul, got any last words? Brother Paul.
Yes, sir. You know, like you rightfully says, it wasn't just a yes, sir. It wasn't just a black nurse who gave syphilis to the black man. It was also a black. I think it was they included a black doctor as well, wasn't it? A black man, you know. And unfortunately, you know, history seems to be repeating itself. But you know, we just have to be wise and smart and realize that history is our guide, and you're going to get Negroes everywhere. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even Negroes will pretend they're conscious and then work out there. Then work them out. They're not really that conscious. That is where we're at, brother. So, you know, we just got to stay alert and use our good sense and good conscience and keep up the good work and keep the fire burning. And I know you're doing that, Brother Ochi, so you just keep it real. Take care.
All right, Brother Paul. Thank you. For those listening, Brother Baba Mwalimu Baruti will be my guest on Wednesday, brother. Brother Jay, Mwalimu Baruti would be my guest. Let me see. Brother LaRue. Brother LaRue, any last words, my brother?
I'm here, man. Hey, I just want to say ditto, man.
I hear
there's
you.
No way I could add to what's been said.
Yeah, well, I appreciate all the people. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Peace to you. Mama Nabantu, any last words, dear?
Ditto, 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 ditto.
Thank you, dear. Appreciate you. All right. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. I'm going to focus on Stephen Biko. It's his birthday. So Friday's program will be focused on Brother Stephen Biko and his history and what happened with him. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they shown the hell damn it don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie. Bibi Fahodie is our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed day, and hopefully I'll see you on Wednesday when my guest will be Brother Mwalimu Baruti. Peace, family.